from the verb innovare, which means simply to innovate, to reform, or to change. But what is innovation? It's often tough to define, but we know it when we see it. It's a new idea, creative thoughts, new imaginations, methods, theories. It's bettering ourselves. But we take these actions often out of necessity. So what if we could harness the scrapper mentality, the hustler, the actions of those who are just trying to survive, and put it into everyday use? This is my passion project. I've attended some of the world's largest innovation conferences, developed the latest and greatest technology, and produced change within organizations who were built on and preach tradition. Now I'm here to help entrepreneurs and everyday individuals make small changes and establish a new normal through new methods, ideas, and standards to change your life forever. I'm Roy Edwards, and welcome to the Innovare Project.
I welcome you to Innovare. Yeah, this is where we innovate. This is the podcast where changes are made. If you're not growing, then you're dying. Innovation is the key to surviving. This is Innovare, where we ain't scared to make that change and create a new way. If you're ready to learn and sit back and just chill, it's about to get real. This is Innovare.
Welcome into the Innovare Podcast. I'm your host, Roy Edwards, and this is the podcast that helps you innovate, change, and get 1% better. This episode is a conversation that might be a little difficult for a lot of us to have. I know that it is a difficult one for myself to have, and that is about sales. So I have a buddy of mine, Corey Barrier, on. He's also known as the sales CEO, and he's here to break down about why we are all salesmen and why we are all selling at all points of our lives and days, whether that is selling to our children to eat that vegetables, eat those broccoli or whatever's left on their plate, or if we're making seven-figure sales deals in our business lives. It's all relative, right? We're all kind of selling in the same form or fashion. And he's going to break that down for us today. But first, guys, if you are new here and you're new to the Innovare Podcast, would you please drop us a like, subscribe, and review at iTunes or Spotify or wherever it is. The iTunes one, that's how we boost up our rankings. When you saw that we were the number 83 ranked technology podcast in the US, that pulls from iTunes. So if you guys are subscribing on other platforms, that doesn't really help our rankings, but it's okay. I'll take them. All right. For whatever reason, the ranking pulls iTunes. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't really understand, to be completely frank with you, but that's what it is. So I appreciate all of you who have subscribed, who have liked, and who have continued to follow this show as we've grown and brought you new guests and new perspectives. We are in season two here. Season three will be dropping over the summer. We'll have a new focus. And that focus for season two has been getting 1% better. If you have not downloaded your ebook, your 1% better guide, it's up and available at InnovarePodcast.com. So go ahead and go download that. It's about 15 pages of just absolute knowledge dropping from different guests, from our industry and doing work with the federal government and enterprise clients. So make sure you go check that out. It'll definitely help you out. But the sales pitch is out of the way. See that? See how I brought it all back in? Now, to improve that sales pitch and to improve our sales in our lives, even though I've always been somebody who said I'm not a salesman, but Corey quickly pointed out that I am, and so are you. Let's get started. Corey Barrier is a sales coach who can help you and your business reach its full potential. In every industry, accountability and another set of eyes are critical to achieving success. And Corey provides that oversight to build a successful life. He's the sales CEO and the host of the Successful Life Podcast, where he has interviewed members such as Brad Lee, Ben Newman, Sean Whalen, Jerick Robbins, CEO Charlie, and many more. Welcome into the Innovare Podcast, Corey Barrier. What's up, dude?
What's up, brother? Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming on. This is hopefully everybody can hear us, because I'm just technically irresponsible and I just try stuff out. But I appreciate you coming on, man. I feel like I talk to you every day now that we're on Clubhouse and stuff, but it's cool to have you in here and on the Innovare podcast. I appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. I noticed that your intro was done by the same dude that did my intro.
Oh yeah. Mr. Joey Yak.
Mr. Joey Yak. Yep. Yeah,
shout out Joey, man. I'm going out to St. Louis actually next weekend to do some video work with Joey. So yeah, dude, love the Yak Master.
Yeah.
He's the man. And he, dude, I don't know. Like, I don't want to turn this into all about Joey because you're the guest of honor today, but did he turn your song around in like six hours or something?
It couldn't have been much more than 24.
Right. It was like, yeah. I just asked you for this. How did you pre-write this? Like, what is going on here?
He's crazy. Just so highly freaking skilled, dude. It's crazy. I mean, he did, I'm sure you know this, but for the listeners, they may not know this. Joey toured with Bone Thugs and Harmony, dude. Yeah. That is like, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. He's the man. Dude, he did, my son an intro for his YouTube channel. He did it so quickly. He's the man. So, but yeah. And anyways, you're the man too. And that's why you're here. And you're here to break down some sales, which, like I explained in the intro there, I'm, for whatever reason, grew up with this ideology where sales was bad or whatever, which we're going to get into. But before we get into that whole story of, you don't want to be a salesman with your used cars man slick back hair. Before we enter into that realm, I do this every podcast. I'm super original like that. Tell me about Corey and tell me about your backstory.
Sure, dude. Well, my backstory, I don't know if we have enough time for that, but but essentially, I grew up in Mayberry, like the Andy Griffith Show, Mayberry. And I lived there till I was 18, and then I moved out and took a job with my dad in tobacco and, in sales. And then I decided to go back to college, fast forward through a lot of drugs and a lot of sales jobs. I landed in, rehab a couple of times, actually. 2009, I decided to stop drinking and stop doing all the craziness that I had previously been doing for all those years. And, that's when I got into the fitness industry, honestly. And I started working in the fitness industry. I was doing sales for a little while and I crushed it, but I realized that the trainers were making a shit ton more money than I was making. So I decided I was going to be a personal trainer because there was a whole lot more money in it. And that worked out well for me for a decade. I'd started my own training company and I sold it and then opened up a med spa where we did hormones like, testosterone, growth hormone. We had laser hair removal, Botox, Juvederm, all the stuff that you can think of, really. That ended in 2018, which was a pivotal point in my life because I thought that that was what I was going to do, right? I thought that was my calling, so to speak. And then one day, October 1st, to be specific, in 2018, my partner at the time came in and said he's not going to pay me anymore. And I didn't really understand because I ran, I ran the entire business. He's a construction guy. Like he had no idea about what we did in the spa. He funded part of the venture. So that was his part in it. And so it didn't really add up to me why he would have said to me, I'm not going to pay you anymore because I was the only person that could run the business. And I mean, you can imagine the emotions that went through my, mind, heart, soul that day. It was not a good day. And for two reasons, the first one I just told you, the second one I was supposed to buy my ticket to go see Tony Robbins that day. And I had visualized, I had journaled, I knew I was going to that event, but I was supposed to pay for the ticket with what I was, with part of what I was getting paid. That came to a screeching halt until about 4 days after the event I just described with my partner. And my wife called me one day. I stuck it out at the clinic, at the medical spa. And I, because I thought he's got to pull his head out of his ass. He's got to realize that, like, this doesn't make an ounce of sense for me to not run this business. Well, I was wrong. And so when the 15th rolled around, he didn't pay me again. And so I kind of jumped a little bit there. But so the fourth or fifth in that, somewhere in that vicinity of that October, my wife called me when I was still at the clinic, and she said, you know, hey, I need you to go to your computer. I was irritated as shit. It was the last part of the day. You know, I had all this stuff piling in on me. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just trying to keep my head above water, essentially. And so she had worked out a deal with Tony Robbins Research, and she bought me the ticket to the event, and she got me like a VIP ticket. Well, it was a better ticket probably than I was going to even buy. And I bring that up because that was a really pivotal point in my life. First of all, that was the nicest thing probably anybody's ever done for me. I would have never in a million years expected her to do that. And so it's interesting because usually when I tell the story, I get choked up because it was so impactful. It was so dear. It's such a dear to my heart, that experience. And, you know, that's kind of where I started my personal development journey. And I've been in sales forever, but I couldn't really place what it was I wanted to do. And I thought, well, you know, I coached people for 10 years in the fitness space, but I didn't really look at that as coaching like I do now. But it's still essentially the same thing. You're still leading people to a result, right? I mean, that's it's the same thing. And so I went through this evolution of trying to figure out what it is I was going to do. And until I hired a coach to basically say to me, Corey, like, you have more sales experience than I have. I'm not sure what I'm going to teach you. And the reality was this: I needed his belief in me because I didn't believe in myself enough to go out and talk about what I know the most about. And it was right in front of my face, but I just didn't have, this may come as a shock, like, I just didn't have the confidence. And I couldn't piece it all together, if that makes any sense, Roy. And that leads me to, you know, what I'm doing now, which is coaching small to medium-sized businesses and working, obviously, closely with the owner and working with their sales team and helping them to see the difference in, you know, selling basically from their bank account opposed to selling from the customer's bank account. And essentially what that means is if I, you know, Roy, if I'm doing business with you and you're, let's just say you're paying me a salary of $60,000, but the product we sell is $30,000. Well, that's hard for me to conceptualize as a $60,000 a year earner. So my point in telling you this and kind of how I landed in the trades in particular is because I find that this is the mindset with a lot of salespeople. In fact, if you're not successful in sales, most likely it sounds really simple, but it's a mindset issue. And it's not just as simple as saying it's a mindset issue. We got to figure out what part of the mindset that's broken. What part is it that you can't convey the message to the customer to get them to the result? So that is a really short and sweet backstory.
Yeah. Well, you touched on a lot there. So first off, mindset, I feel like, is like a key to whatever your next level of anything is, even getting started. You go from stagnation to motion, mindset comes into play. Like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, whatever it is, something gets in the way, right? Getting out of your own head is the first step towards anything. Where I've heard on your podcast, I believe you were talking to Brad Lee, and you asked him about imposter syndrome, and you had talked about how, like, everybody goes through that questioning their own self and that imposter syndrome. And so how do you coach people through that? Because sales, like picking up a phone and just dialing, I feel like is the hardest part of sales. It's like before you talk, that before somebody's yelling at you or telling them to get off of their stoop or whatever, like the knock on the door, the phone call, like that's the hardest part, right? So how do you get somebody out of their own head past that initial starting point?
Sure. Well, here's the thing. It's the anticipation of a shitty outcome.
Yeah.
Right. That's why people have a hard time picking up the phone, or they have a hard time knocking on that door. They have a hard time conveying that message to the customer because they don't ultimately want to hear the result. And sometimes, Roy, the result is no. The result is we're not a good fit. Right. That's the worst thing somebody's really going to be able to say to you, especially in this year, 2021, when everything's done via Skype or Zoom. Right. I mean, I do all of my coaching calls pretty much unless I go on site somewhere to do a training, which I did a few weeks ago. But I do everything through Zoom. So to answer your question, you know, it depends on the person, really, because it could be a situation where they have grown up with a dad that maybe was a shitty salesperson, right? Maybe he was selling snake oil, and you have the idea that all salespeople sell snake oil. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's you had a bad experience with a car dealer, and that could be your experience with sales. And that's where somebody we have a number of, you know, we have 100 great experiences in sales that we don't recognize. But the one that sticks out in our head is that one bad experience. But that's 1 out of 100. That's not too bad odds. So we keep going back to that negative situation or that negative conversation, and we keep replaying it in our minds over and over that's going to be the outcome every time. If you think about the numbers, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. That we start thinking of different scenarios in our head that where we're thinking with our own wallets or our thinking with our own minds. Whereas, you know, like that's something that I had to get over in. So like I do seven figure sales. That's your Clubhouse that you meet on every day, twice a day, every day. Right. So if you guys are on Clubhouse, definitely look up 7-figure sales. But the majority of the sales that I work on daily are 7-figure sales. They're right. Government deals that I am nurturing relationship and trying to win over an RFP or whatever to try and land this multi-million dollar deal. I don't have $1 million, not even close. Right. So that getting past that initial point where I'm buying with my own wallet and understanding that, look, I've built a crazy good solution here that they need. That's what's important. Not, oh man, like, oh, is it worth it? Like, if you've done the work, it's worth it. Right. So like, how do you get that out of your, how do you get past that to sit like purchase with it? Like, how do you stop purchasing with your own wallet, especially for like door to door knockers and stuff like that? Right. Who are selling, maybe you're selling like a $30,000 to $50,000 roof. And you're just a kid out of college who, you know, doesn't even have a home, you know?
Right, right. It's hard, right? It's hard to put yourself in the shoes of the customer. And that's really what I work with people on, is you got to think about it. And here's the thing. If you're selling something that you shouldn't be selling, if you're selling a product or service that you don't agree with, or that you haven't used, or that you don't know if works, then that's why you're having problems, right? And if you're in sales and you're selling something that doesn't align with what your core values are, stop selling it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because there's always going to be incongruency in that. And what I mean by incongruency, if the audience doesn't know what that means, they probably do, but incongruency is where you hear me saying something out of my mouth, but my face is saying something very different, right? Or you say to somebody, you wouldn't want to buy this roof from me, would you? Like, well, how do you expect them to be like, oh, no, yeah, come on in.
No, please, right? Come on the roof. Please, come on in.
Right. So, you know, that just, it, you just got to, and a lot of it's language, dude. It's a lot of, it's so much of it's language. Like if you think about, if you say, I can't do and fill in the blank, most likely you won't be able to do it because you're telling yourself, I can't do X, Y, Z.
Dude, so can't is a word that I grew up not a lot. It was a bad word in my house. Like I would get more in trouble for saying that I can't do something than I would for like dropping a curse word.
That's so funny you say that, dude. I have not thought about that. And as much as I talk about this, I never really pieced that together till just now.
Yeah.
But same thing in my household. Same exact thing. And I never could figure out why. I didn't know why I wasn't supposed to say it. I just know I wasn't supposed to say it. So what did I do? Naturally, I said it every other word.
Right.
So, you know, but having that context, as Callie likes to put it, you know, people don't pay for the content. They pay for the context of the content. So without the context, content's worthless.
Yeah. Yeah. I have kids. I have four kids and they'll say can't. And I will crack the whip on that, man. Like that is a word that it's unacceptable. Cause then you start getting down that negative path, right? We start making excuses for yourself, or you start actually believing that you can't. It's one thing to say that you can't do something because you don't want to do it. But if you say it enough or do it enough in a negative light, then you're going to actually believe it. And you're actually going to say, well, no, I really can't do that. I don't know why. Right. So like quick example, I grew up diving. I was a diver, dove off diving boards and stuff like that from when I was 9 years old all the way through high school, right? And I could do some pretty cool tricks. I was never a great diver, but I dove for the high school. I was okay. I could never do a 1.5. Couldn't do it. I could do a flip with 2 twists, and I could do all kinds of other stuff. I could do like backflips and backflips with twists and anything. Could never do 1.5. And it was when I was little, I would tell myself, I can't do it. I can't do it. And then it just became this blockage in my head that I could get plenty high enough, spin plenty fast enough. It was just this blockage in my mind. And that to me is what majority of people who are new to sales are working with. It's not that you can't pick up the phone and convince somebody or sell somebody, or which we're going to get into that in a second too, right? We're not, selling is not always like, it's not the sleazy car salesman, slick back hair, right? But not like 80% of the problem, if not more, is you just picking up the damn phone and believing in yourself that you can have a conversation with somebody. So I just brought up something that I saw you smile, and I know it's a nugget, was the convincing, right? How much of sales is convincing somebody, and we're selling, you know, to be sold on something has this like negative context to it, right?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And, you know, here's the thing. If you take somebody through the sales process correctly, you don't have to sell, right? You don't have to be a salesperson or a sales professional. You don't have to convince. You don't have to close, right? If you just do it the right way, people will close themselves. I mean, I could tell you that if you ask enough questions, people will tell you exactly what they want you to help them with. Period. And sometimes you have to sit in that uncomfortable silence in order for them to figure out what it is you need to help them with. And so, that's what I would say about that.
Dude, I love that. And I'm on team relationship selling, right? Which is how I realized that I was ever actually selling. To be completely frank with you, I always thought of myself as not being a salesman. I'm not a salesman. I'm a developer. I'm a solutions architect. I'm, you know, all of these technical terms and titles that I wanted to throw out there because that's what I thought that I did. And I did do I am a software engineer, but everybody sells, right?
Yeah.
You're always selling.
Yeah. Even if it's your kids on what they're supposed to have for dinner, lots of times that's a sale. Right. Especially at the early beginnings and you've got four kids, you know, right? I mean, sometimes you have to even negotiate with the child in order to get the outcome you're looking for.
Right. Dude, I would love to say that I do not negotiate with my children because there's a, you know, but I do. I will tell them that it's something that it's not just to get them to eat it. Like,
yeah,
what do you want? What do you want? 5 more minutes before bedtime? Just please eat this food, you know, please.
Right.
Dude, I'm totally on board with that. The whole, you're always selling no matter what. Sometimes you're selling yourself. We had just kind of had that conversation about convincing yourself to take the first step, to take the first move, which I'll show this comment real quick. This guy, Jason on YouTube just said, I can, if I will, right? Like you have to convince yourself. That's selling. That's self-selling right there.
Yeah, that's right. And there's so much of that that's involved with your mindset, dude. You could sell yourself on why. Here's a good example. When we started this, we were talking about StreamYard. And I'm like, Roy, I'm a complete idiot when it comes to technology. There's no way I could do this. Well, guess what? I've never even tried to do it. So
yeah,
that was really a false statement because I don't want to do it.
Right.
I want the result, but I don't want to have to figure it out. So I just say I can't do it.
Yeah. Right? Dude, that's true. How do you know if you can or cannot do something you've never tried?
Yeah, you don't. That's just it.
Yeah. Dude, I'll try anything once.
Yeah.
I try so much that I have to stop myself from trying. You know what I mean? Like I hop on Clubhouse with like you and Callie and Alex and all these people, and you guys drop these bombs and nuggets of things, and I'm like, I'm gonna do that right now. And then like my marketing team and my sales, they're like, what are you doing? Stop doing this. Like they have to like calm me down and stuff like that. So it's like I'm like the other way, man. I gotta like chill. Like, all right, let's plan this out. Let's do the whole, like, just do this right, you know? But there's a balance there, right? There's a balance of how much do you plan? How much do you just go and do, right? So, like, how do you balance that? How do you balance preparation with let's start?
That's such a good question. Like, here's the thing. There's been several times in my life that if I hadn't have just started, I'll just give you a quick example. My podcast, right? I started that. Technically, I registered the podcast on Libsyn. That was the start. Okay. That was all I had done when I asked my first guest to be on the podcast. Right. And I didn't anticipate him saying yes. In fact, I didn't even think about it long enough to talk myself out of it. So I was at the RT Syndicate meetup, and Ryan Williams was standing there, and I didn't even know who he was. I just knew he was somebody I needed to be close to, right? I just knew he was in the inner circle with the RTA Syndicate people. I just knew I needed to be close to him. So I went, introduced myself, took a picture, and I just turned to him and said, hey, I have a podcast. Would you like to be the first guest on it? And he said, yes. And I went, oh, shit. What am I going to do now? Because I don't even know anything about podcasting. So what I did is, I kid you not, I spent probably 18 hours a day figuring out for 2 straight weeks before this podcast how to even do the shit.
Yeah.
And that's a good example of, if I would have thought about it long enough, I would have never asked the question, because I would have had in my brain, you don't know how to do that. Right. I can't offer that. Why would you say that? And I would have walked myself right out of it because I didn't think about it and I just did it. I then just had to finish doing it. And so that's a good example, dude. So the balance is hard though, from the planning to the, you know, just taking action, because lots of times, Roy, I think, and I've had these times in my life where I plan and plan and plan, and I don't ever do it because I think I'm not ready. And the reality is I probably know far more about it than a lot of people, but that thought of not being successful in that thing, whatever it is, it discourages me or whatever, you know, I mean, and I'm human. So that happens, still happens from time to time.
Yeah. That imposter syndrome, right? We've all dealt with that, where I had to explain to, I had a guest on the other day, last week, I think. And I was asking him pre-show. I said, hey, we're going to go over imposter syndrome. And he was like, what? What's imposter syndrome? And I was like, oh, maybe I just call it something else. Like, it was like, it's that thought process where you're talking yourself out of something, or you don't believe you're good enough or something. And he's like, wait a second. Other people experience that so much that it became a term. I'm like, yeah, dude, like everybody gets it, man. Like, you're not like me, you, but we're not special because like, or like everybody out there is like, oh, well, I can't do a kickflip. I can't do this, or I can't do that. Right. It's like, no, dude, like that's just to quote Andy Frisella, right? That's your bitch voice, you know, like yes. Get out of your own head, dude.
That's right.
So yeah, dude, our imposter syndrome, everybody deals with it, and you got to get over it, and you got to take that first step, that first action. Right. So, there's this guy Jason just brought up talking about passion is the nectar of life, right? Which I'll show that comment up here for you, Jason. So he talks about passion, right? which I talk about passion a lot too, and finding your passion and finding your purpose. And I am of the thought process that you cannot find your purpose. And the reason why I say you can't find your purpose is because it's not lost. It's not something that is just you don't have. I believe you're born with your purpose, and eventually you will stumble into it. If you're so stubborn to not realize it, you'll stumble into it. And if that's what you want to call finding, then you go right ahead. But I don't believe it's something that's lost. And so when going after your purpose or your passion, how important is that in business? And since we're on the topic of sales and in sales, like, how passionate do you have to be about a product? You touched on it earlier that you said you have to be able to use it, but do you have to be passionate about the product as well?
I think so. And I think that comes along with, because look, I was just sharing this earlier with a guy, and I was explaining to the three elements of communication, which are body language, tonality, and the words that you use. Now, this is the part I didn't say, is that 55% of communication is body language, meaning hands, facial expression, so on and so forth. And then the tonality is 38%. And tonality is the voice inflection. It's when you hear the highs and the lows of someone's voice. You can hear the enthusiasm in their voice. And then the third piece is the words that you use. Well, the words that you use is only 7% of that whole freaking 100% of that equation. So think about this. If you're sending cold DMs, cold emails, or you're, hell, sending emails, period, if it doesn't have a video attached, you're only getting 7% of the communication of how people learn and communicate. So you asked me about the passion, and that shows when that passion shows through your body language, your tonality, and maybe a little bit of the words you use, but primarily it comes out with the body language and the tonality. And I do believe that is 1,000% important if you're going to be successful in sales, because if you can't transfer your energy to that other person so they can feel what you're feeling about the product or service, you're probably not going to do a very good job closing the deal.
Dude, I'm so glad you brought up video, because that's become something that I wasn't aware other people were even using video, right? I didn't know it was a thing until I started getting into like different groups and, talking to more marketers and stuff like that. And they were talking about, what is it, like VSL or something like that? I don't even know what VSL stands for, but Alex Vonderhaar, who I've had on the show before, dropped his that. I think it's like video sales language or something like that. But especially in a COVID world where I'm not shaking your hand, you're not, you know, a couple feet from me, seeing my body language and seeing how I'm acting, video is so important. Dropping a little video note in a DM or in an email or something like that, so you can physically see how my body language is. Whereas it's something like 70 to 80% of communication is nonverbal, right?
That's right. Well, 55% is the body language. Tonality, which I guess would kind of be the verbal part, and then the words, of course. So yeah, it's a pretty good amount anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. And how do you fit that into an email?
It's very hard.
You know?
It's very hard, unless you use a video. And look, I mean, you know, you and I have not communicated a ton on social, but I usually use the video when I'm communicating with people, because yeah, they get all the elements of communication. I can effectively tell you the message that I'm trying to convey, and you're going to understand where it's coming from, right? And so it's unbelievably important. And, you know, BombBomb is, you know, a video. Well, Joey actually does. Yeah. He does a lot of video stuff for people. In fact, I was working with Joey for a little bit on some video stuff. But BombBomb's one of the easiest probably things to use as far as video email goes, because, well, I mean, it's kind of like StreamYard, right? You just, yeah, you record it through your camera on your computer, and you just put it. I mean, it's easy. It's so easy.
So yeah, logo or something like that, right?
You don't have to do anything, really. I mean, it's got like, you know, it's boxed out kind of like yours, and yeah. But I mean, it compared to yours, it would look basic, but compared to nobody's, it looks
right.
Great.
Gotta try it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, if only we had said that previous in the show, we would have known to just try. But dude, that I love the theme here is just get off your ass and go do, right? Like, yeah. So like there's the people who talk about visualization and law of attraction. And don't get me wrong, I am big on law of attraction. I'm big on visualization. I love all that stuff, right? But there is somebody I was listening to on one of the podcasts. I'm not sure whose it was. And if I remember, I'll make sure that I quote them. But he said, visualization and law of attraction is only the first step, which leads to the second step, which is Goa. And Goa is get off your ass. You can visualize all you want from the couch, right? But it's not going to do anything until you get off your ass and take the first step.
So that is a great point. But I'd love to point out something.
Yeah.
So there was a study, and don't quote me on the study, but I know that I'm pretty damn close to what it is I'm about to tell you. So they did a study, and let's just say it was 10 and 10. They took 10 guys that would shoot basketballs, right? And they did the count of how many they made,
yep.
Right? And then they took 10 guys that never touched the ball, and they just did it mentally. Mm-hmm. And the difference in the two when they were on the court was practically nothing.
Right. In that shot, in that motion, in the shot.
Yeah.
No, I know the study you're talking about. So to build off that, watch golfers. Tiger Woods is one of the best at this, which he just got in a car accident, which sucks because I love his comeback. But when you watch golfers, they'll practice swing before they hit, right? And then they'll hit the ball. And while they are walking to the ball and going, they're swinging without their club.
Right.
They're just going through the motion because of that. You're building up that muscle memory of what. Right. I've also heard that people who think about doing like leg raises and stuff like that get exercise out of it. I don't know how crazy that is, but
it should be about as crazy as somebody sitting on the bench shooting basketballs, right? I mean, it's bizarre. But I will tell you, and I would love to share this with you really quick, and I wish I had the picture in front of me, but I don't, so it doesn't really matter. But I remember I was sitting, and this was my first real true experience with visualization, and I guess law of attraction is part of this. Mm-hmm. Is I was sitting outside of a house. It was this big ass house in Charlotte, and my wife was there taking pictures. And it was actually a farm kind of house, not really a farmhouse, but it was on a big ass piece of land, horses and shit. Like it was all gated in, and I remember I was supposed to start a mastermind. I was leading a mastermind the next day. And in the idea, it was around Thinking Grow Rich. And so I was listening to the first chapter again. I'd already read it probably four times, but I wanted to refresh my memory on what the very first chapter was about because I didn't want to fail the mastermind. And so in that first chapter, he was talking about the Model T. And he was describing the process of getting the V8 put in the Model T. And when he was starting to describe it, I thought, do I even know? Literally, this was exactly what happened. I thought, do I even know what a Model T looks like? And so a picture popped into my head, and I thought, I think that's it. And dude, I kid you not, 30 seconds after that happened, a garage, and we were in a gated house. Like it was, again, it was right. I was outside of Charlotte. There's no way this could have happened any differently. And damn, if they didn't raise a garage and pushed completely restored Model T out of that garage. And I just sat there like, what the fuck just happened? And so I took a picture of it thinking there's no way that's what just happened. And so when my wife got in the car, I was like, what was that was pushed out of the garage? She was like, oh, restored Model T. And so I just, to that, you know, that was the most proof I've ever had of a visualization, law of attraction shit that's happened in my life. But I mean, it was bizarre, dude. It was bizarre.
We can go down a crazy, crazy rabbit hole of law of attraction.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we're in the process of moving right now, our house, right? And we've always been like, okay, we want to live in this specific neighborhood. That's where we want to live. And we've started visualizing what the house might look like and all that stuff, right? Where we go eat, like we drive like 20 minutes into that other area where we want to be and eat at those pizza places. And like we go to those parks and stuff like that to just visualize ourselves in that environment. So that like, cause we know that the house is going to pop up, right? It's going to happen. I don't know how, I don't know any of that, but I know that if I push enough, the good juju, if you want to call it juju, if you want to call it law of attraction, whatever the hell you guys want to call it out there. If I do that and I focus in on it, then I'll get it. Like it's just a matter of time. And to tie it back into sales, if you visualize the sale going good, that gets out of that negative talk that we were talking about earlier, where we're out of our minds, right? We're out of our own heads and we're actually taking real action on things.
100%, dude. If you think about it, if you're the guy that's having to make those cold calls or knocking on doors or whatever, fill in the blank, if you just stop for a second and think about how that call is going to go, how that appointment is going to go, and you see that all the way through and you see the end result and you can kind of feel what it's going to feel like after you get that result, that I would say the chances are significantly higher that you're actually going to get that result because you can picture yourself in that situation. Whereas if you don't visualize the outcome, that negative self-talk comes in and you may talk yourself right out of even knocking on that door or whatever that looks like.
Yeah, man. Do you actively use like any type of self-talk or it doesn't have to be like law of attraction type stuff, but like, do you use any type of like self-talk or do you talk to yourself or anything like that?
I do. And I would say that I'm probably not great at it, but
it's definitely a skill, a learned skill, you know?
It is. And so I think because I was a negative human being up until my Tony Robbins experience. And I just didn't realize how negative I really was. In fact, that was part of the reason the med spa went south, I think, is because I didn't lead as a leader. I was the boss. I was do as I say because I'm the owner. And I'm just going to tell you, if you own a business and you act that way, you're probably not going to have a business, or you're at least not going to have a culture that's going to produce people that are going to want to stay in your business, or you're not going to attract the people that you're wanting to attract because people can see that you're an asshole.
Dude, yes. Yes. So I used to think that if somebody that I hired on, salespeople especially, if somebody that I hired on didn't do well, then it was all on them. Ah, they suck. Ah, they didn't try hard enough. Ah, they didn't do this. They didn't do that, right?
Right.
Which maybe some of that's true.
Maybe. But,
maybe. But when I started looking at it and say, okay, well, am I providing them with the necessary tools to succeed? Did I give them enough training? Did I give them enough, you know, talking points? Did I give them a good call list? Like, did I provide them with value so that they could do their job? That's when things started to change. And yeah, more salespeople started to hit numbers and just overall liked coming to work, you know?
Yeah, dude. 100%. I get that 110%.
So how do we learn more about sales, and how do we hook up with the sales CEO?
So you can follow me on social, of course. You can follow me on, I'm pretty much my name everywhere, just at Corey Barrier. And the best way to really get a hold of me or to really help me to notice who you are, what it is you need, is, you know, just be a genuine human being. I don't work with people that don't align with me and align with my values, because quite frankly, I know what my values are and I know the result that I'm going to get from how I do the process that I do with companies. And I'm not going to let anybody fuck that up. You know, I'm not going to allow partnering with a company for me to come in and change around their sales team. I'm not going to have that affect, you know, the results that I already get with the current clients that I have. And so I would say if you don't align with what you've heard today, I wouldn't reach out because I'm probably not your guy.
Nice. Yeah. And that works with, that's where we're clients too, right? Like at the other side of that, not everyone's for you, not everyone's for this podcast, right?
That's right. And guess what? Okay. They have the option at this point. They could just turn the channel.
That's right. And it's okay. Life goes on, right?
So, you don't have to be upset. Nobody has to get upset because of something we've said. Just don't listen to it. That's right. It's that simple.
Then we're done here, right? Like, it's good. Well, dude, I appreciate you very much. There's my virtual standing ovation for you.
Thank you, sir.
It was a pleasure having you on, and I will probably see you here in like, well, not see you, but hear from you in like, what is it, 3 hours? Or tell me about the questions.
Yeah, dude, Clubhouse has been really great, and let me explain why. The power of this platform, Callie and I got on approximately about the same time, and because of the fact we're both in the Arte Syndicate, we just connected because of that reason. And I knew Callie, I didn't know Callie, but I knew of Callie. We've had a little bit of interaction, but not a ton. Yeah. And not for any reason other than we just really didn't have a reason to have conversations, I guess. And so when we linked up on Clubhouse, it was like, you know, it was like a, you know, it was kind of like a match made in heaven because Callie comes at sales differently than I do. And he comes and he brings the manufacturing side of the sales conversation where I don't have any manufacturing skills or any knowledge about it other than now what I've learned from him. And so we dove in pretty heavy. You know, we do two shows a day because we know the power of this platform. We also know that, guess what? 50% of the country can't even get on the platform.
Right.
Much not to mention, if you don't have an invite, that's another reason you can't get on. So when this thing goes public, holy cow, dude, it is going to be insane if Facebook doesn't buy first.
Yeah, which could happen.
It could.
It could definitely happen. Well, I appreciate your guys' rooms that you guys are doing over there. Callie, who I've had on the show before, if you guys are listening to this right now, go listen to the Callie Keen episode. It was freaking awesome. The End Hype, I believe, is what it's called. Dude, you too. I love jumping in the rooms. Thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it, and I'll see you in a couple hours.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the Innovare Podcast. You can listen to all episodes at InnovarePodcast.com, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever your podcasts are found. If you enjoy watching podcasts, check us out on YouTube for a visual behind-the-scenes look at all Innovare Podcast episodes. We have recently released a community of entrepreneurs. Find us on Facebook at Innovare Mindset. That's Innovare Mindset, to join the private group of entrepreneurs changing the world. Until next time, guys, see ya.